Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for another day of life. Lord, we're thankful for the wonderful gift of salvation, Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we sing a song that says, I know in my heart what it means. Salvation, that word so divine. Dear Lord, I thank you that I know what salvation means, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, our world today, there are so many people that are walking around believing that they're well with their soul, that they're going to die and make heaven a home. But dear Lord, the enemy of the soul has blinded their eyes. The enemy of the soul has deceived them. And they've got them on a track that's headed to the pits of hell. And the Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us, dear Lord. If it's not for the grace of God and not for us to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we'll lead the same way, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, there's nothing special about any of us that are saved, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Heavenly Father, you talk to our hearts and we yield it to you. And we're so thankful, dear Lord, as we sang the song that I was in sin's prison, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, in one sense, we really can't fully comprehend of being in a prison, to being in a place that we were trapped and we couldn't get out, dear Heavenly Father, of our own ability, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, you deliver us. You paid the price. You pardoned us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we, in one sense, can't fully comprehend some of those things. But dear Lord, we are so thankful for the beautiful blessings of salvation, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we know in our hearts what it means. We know the goodness of God, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, dear Lord, we understand what price has been paid for us to receive this salvation. And so, Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us, dear Lord. Every single one of us in here are on certain grounds in our spiritual walk, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to go deeper. Help us to go further into spirituality, dear Heavenly Father, to grow stronger in the things of God, to grow closer to you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we need to do with all our best that we can, dear Heavenly Father, each and every one of us, dear Lord, that we may make heaven a home, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless this service this morning. You know each and every soul that's here. You know the condition of every soul. Heavenly Father, we know that there's an enemy, that he has already set up tent right next to each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. And he's already started to hand each and every one of us a memo to think about tomorrow, what happened yesterday, what you have to do this afternoon, to draw your mind somewhere, dear Lord. He's already started to make those plans, dear Lord. So, dear Heavenly Father, we have to diligently bring our minds and our soul and our thoughts into the service, dear Lord. So we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, as we present the word this morning. We ask you to anoint each and every one of the ears, the hearts of each and every one, that they'll receive it and that it'll grow and strengthen each one, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to anoint me, anoint the word, that we'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read pick up in verse 7 here. This is Paul speaking to them. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, and for the faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with the Spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. In verse 7, Paul makes a comment here. He's speaking to those that are at Rome. And he says, he calls them saints, to the beloved of God, called to be saints. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the saints here. And I have in my notes, and I was sitting here just meditating a little bit on the thoughts. And I write on here, to the saints of God, to those that are saved, to those that are sanctified, to those that have a desire to press the battle on. And Paul is mentioning here in verse 7, He says, he's telling them grace. He's telling them peace. He says, he's not here. He's writing this letter to them. So in as many times he wrote letters to different congregations and trying to encourage them, trying to help them, and giving them peace and comfort, and telling them he's thinking about him. He's encouraged to pray for him and things like that. He's trying to encourage them, wishing them well, and thanking God for them. And I know as we as saints, and many times we do that, other congregations, we're thankful for other congregations we're in fellowship with, other saints we're in fellowship with, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that we're not an island to ourselves. We're not just somebody by ourselves. Hey, I'm over here, I'm all by myself, and I'm saved, and I know other people that are saved, and they have a desire to please God. They have a desire to make heaven, and they have battles. I have battles. They have battles. We all have different battles. And to pray for one another, and that's my thoughts where I'm headed here a little bit in just a moment, is talking about praying for one another. But Paul's trying to encourage them, to tell them to have the grace and the peace of God, to be thankful for them. You know, we often mention that from time to time when we meet friends and different ones. We tell them, I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you, sister. I appreciate you for standing for the things of God. I appreciate your faithfulness. I see you today. And I'm talking about mostly when other congregations that we don't see on a week-to-week basis. When I see you today, and I may see you from 6 months from now, I may see you a year from now, I may not see you for several years from now. But thank God when I see of you or hear of you, and Paul's mentioned that from time to time, when I see of you and hear of you, you're still saved. You're still pressing the battle on. You're still faithful. I've mentioned that many times in preaching. A lot of times the devil tries to get us to try to go beyond what maybe God has called us to do. I want to do something else. I want to play the piano. I want to sing. I want to preach. I want to teach. I want to do it. What can I do? And maybe when those things don't come about, the enemy tries to discourage us. Now, let me tell you what, from time to time, I've mentioned this. One of the greatest blessings I believe we can be to one another is being faithful. Just being faithful. You're saved today. You're saved and sanctified today. 6 months from now, you're saved and sanctified. A year, 5 years, 10 years, you're still there. You're still just being faithful, being a child of God. When I hear of you in California or Florida or Texas or wherever you may be, I remember brother or sister so-and-so. They're still faithful. Thank God for that. I mentioned it many times in my preaching when I go somewhere, revival or camp meeting or whatever, and I've made that comment. And I've had some people come to me and tell me, kind of caught me a little bit off guard. I've had several young people come to me. They say, how you doing, Brother Doug? I'm still saved and still faithful and all that. And they said that. They said, I think one of Brother Brian and Sister Charlie's sons had testified about that one time. They remember when I said that. They remember when I see you again, especially young people, when I see you again, I want to hear your testimony. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're still having a desire to press the battle on. That's a blessing. We should have that desire. We should have that longing when somebody hears of us, that they hear we're still saved and sanctified and pressing this battle on. Praising God for being faithful. Praising God for staying faithful. But in verse 9, is where I want to take my thought from this morning. And Paul says here, for God is my witness, whom I serve with the Spirit and the gospel of the Son of His Son, that without ceasing, and the latter part of this is what I want to look after this morning, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers. Now we know that Paul was an apostle, in a sense, going around and helping congregations to get started, preaching the word, seeing people get saved, seeing them to get established. He would leave them and leave certain ones in charge and write letters. He was encouraged. You know, if you have ever been involved in something, helping something to set up or the beginning of something, you desire to see it do well. And Paul desired to see the congregations that he had gone through, and Rome was one of them here. He wanted to hear them doing well. We're going to talk about some other things later on here. But he called them. He says, I pray for you. And no doubt, Paul spent a lot of time praying and for his other saints and for the ones that he's helped to establish. But he says here, praying for you always. You know, it's a sad thing, and saints, we need to be real about this thought here. It's a sad thing that so many people I don't know how to words to say what to say about something. When sometimes people will tell me, I'm not talking about saints, I'm talking about people out there in the world, I'm praying for you. I feel like sometimes saying you will have a clue what that means. I know some people's lives, and they have never in their life got down beside their bed or kneeled somewhere, got down on their knees and prayed to God for you or I. You've heard it all the time. I'm praying for you. We need to pray for him. That holds no weight. But saints of God, we as saints, and as I said, as Paul said, he prayed for those as saints of God, those that are saved. When we tell someone, I'm praying for you, I'm looking to help you in your prayer and in keeping you encouraged, we need to be honest with that. And he says here, to praying for you always. We need to pray for one another. Verse 9, he says here, to pray that without ceasing I make mention of you always in our prayers. And as I said earlier in the beginning, saved, sanctified, we need to pray for one another. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. There's times I'm up on top of the mountain and you're on the valley, in the valley. And you need my prayers. There's times it's vice versa. I'm in the valley and you're on the mountain. And I need your prayers to pray for one another, to encourage one another, and ask the Lord to help and to bless each and every one of us. I believe as saints of God, and I believe here, and I don't find fault with any of this. I believe we're true saints and praying for one another. I believe there's sometimes not a week that goes by that we don't, and I don't mention every single one of you in our prayers. Not a week. Maybe multiple times a week, especially every one of you. Some of us, we know our patterns of prayer. We do it on Wednesday night prayer meeting. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sometimes I jump ahead on my notes. I know what my notes are. But we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. What is that? Prayer meeting. I know we have a little lesson, and I try to cater to that, not to make it as long. It's a prayer meeting. It's a time of prayer. And we know how we go through our prayers. We mention each one, especially those that have prayer requests, special prayer requests. There may be some of us that certain things are going on in their life. I know with Brother Walter, with his surgery and everything, no doubt that's been a main prayer request for us, mentioning him, keeping him in our prayers. Brother Herschel and Sister Ann has gone through some things in the last several months. That's been a special prayer for them. Sometimes people have a physical need or whatever. And they make that comment. And I will say this sometimes. I remember some years ago, I wasn't saved too long. And I always remember it was Sister Swanebeck. I don't remember what the request was. But she would always just have, and if you knew her, she was very shy, sat over there. And she kind of, when she sat over there, she kind of always kind of turned towards Brother Gilbert. He sat on one side and towards the wall. She was very shy. And she'd always say, I have a special request. But I remember one particular time, she expanded on that request. And I don't remember what it was. It was just very brief. But it made an effect with my prayers. I had them all. Sometimes we say, I have a prayer request. And I know we do that a lot. And that's one thing. But sometimes, saints, and especially on a Wednesday night, when we come on a Wednesday night, it's a little more intimate prayer request. I have a prayer request. Maybe expand. It's not as many visitors or whatever. It's just the local saints. I have a prayer request and expand on that. It makes a difference when I have a prayer request. I have a need. I have this particular things going on in my life. And we might tell some details of that or whatever. It puts a greater burden. But to pray for one another. I need your prayers and you need our prayers. We need to pray for one another. Prayer. I know Brother Danny over the years, and his prayer requests sometimes, he's prayed for some ones that we remember that haven't been here for years and years. He's prayed for Brother Stan. I haven't seen him for years. Don't even know where he's at. Don't even know if he's alive anymore. A couple ladies that used to come. He's mentioned their names from time to time. Some of you sisters may have mentioned the home, may have mentioned some of the Sunday school children that you taught. Maybe their parents, maybe somebody else that you've known, you've acquainted with, you knew came one time. Every once in a while, to remember people that may have been here and gone by now. And not coming, and God came in. Pray for one another. To pray for one another each and every day. Lord, we need to pray. There are some that have a lot of requests, some that have just a very basic request, and there are some that almost have no request. And you know, sometimes when I go to God in prayer and I go through the prayer requests and I, you know, this brother, that sister, this brother, and I go through the congregation and I get to some that don't have a prayer, I said, Lord, and remember them. I don't know if they have a need, burden, whatever, they're doing well, seem to be, they don't have a prayer. But Lord, remember them, encourage them to pray. How valuable is our prayer? How beneficial is our prayer? We need to pray for each one of us. I need the desires of your prayers, and you need the desires of mine. And we don't need to pray for just needs. We need to pray that we, each one of us, stay saved. Stay encouraged. Sometimes you can tell, we can tell sometimes some people that are going through a battle. Sometimes people are going through a struggle. We read some of them verses in that song. And sometimes those are really true to some people. They're a little more identifiable sometimes to some. They're not only they don't have a physical need. They don't have anybody's in the hospital or a sickness or whatever. But they just have a need for a burden for their soul. I'm saved, but Lord, saints, I'm in a discouraged state. I'm in a battle. I'm in a trial. I need to pray for them. Keep their souls saved. To keep them encouraged. As Sister Ann even talked about that song, and I've read some of those verses, how many of us wake up 7 days a week, get up out of bed, I'm encouraged, depressed, about to one every single day for 7 straight days. Have you ever done that? I've never done it. One day I may wake up, I'm encouraged, thank the Lord, I go to work, I'm happy, things are well, I had a good prayer time, and maybe read or whatever, I'm a good day. Tomorrow, I may wake up, and the devil say, you're not saved, you're miserable, everything's bad, whatever. We need to encourage. We need to encourage one. We're all in this battle together. And Paul was telling them at Rome and in many other congregations that he wrote to, stay encouraged. I'm praying for you. How many of you have ever had anybody throughout the congregations or wherever, or even in here local congregations, how many of you ever had anybody come to you and say, I'm praying for you? I'm telling you what, that's a blessing. Whether you make a mention of a prayer request or whatever, I'm praying for you. I think sometimes, Lord, help us to be more faithful with that. Brother Ken's away for the week, and he told me last week he's going to be traveling. I think he's going to his sister's, I believe is what he said. He said, I'm going to be away for the week, and I'm going to be traveling. I told him, I said, well, when he comes back, I'll be gone. I said, well, brother, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. To pray for one another, safety and travels and things like that. To pray for our salvation, to pray for encouragement, to pray for a deeper walk. Whether you're the pastor or you've just been saved a year, we need a deeper walk. Whether you've been saved 50 years, 60 years, or just a year, you need a deeper walk. There's always a time of growth. I don't care who you are. I have 2 grandchildren. Then little ones are just growing in leaps and bounds. But you know, it's fit in the physical aspect. But in the physical aspect, sometimes it comes to a place we're not growing anymore. We're like, okay, I'm going to sit down for the day. But in the spiritual, the Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day and strengthened and helped and encouraged. I need encouragement. I need spiritual growth. I need a deeper walk with the things of God, regardless of how long we live for the Lord. I've said it many times. You all have eight amen and amen. Whether we were 18 years old or 20 years old or 30 years old or 50 years old or 80 years old, there's always a different challenge in every age bracket that we go through, and we need grace to go through that because we've never been through it before. Over the years, there have been many that have been here, and they've left for multiple reasons. And it saddens us. They may have been here, they may have been a part of the congregation, they may have testified they're saved, may have testified they're sanctified, been faithful to the congregation. They're gone. It saddens us. And from time to time, we continue to pray for them. We continue to remember. And sometimes we understand why they've left. Sometimes we don't know why they left. Sometimes they move or whatever. All kind of different scenarios. Sometimes they just backslide. They get tired in the battle. They get tired and weary, and they leave. And saints, we need to be careful, because that can affect us. And we, Lord, I need grace to help my prayer. And my prayer is to me, give us grace, dear Lord, that that doesn't affect us and to sway us sometimes by the enemy of the soul. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Again, Paul writing here to the saints in Galatians here. And chapter 1 and verse 6, look what he says here in this verse of Scripture. Paul says here, I marvel that ye are so soon moved from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Many times you'll hear me ask, are you saved? And I even quoted it this morning, the song, salvation, that word so divine. I know what it means. Salvation, I know what it means. That word, I know what the word salvation means. I know what it means. I've experienced the grace of God. I've experienced the gift of salvation. I've experienced condemnation. I've experienced the burden that God has put on me through helping me want to be under a burden to be saved. I've experienced those things and came to an altar of prayer and asked God to save me and asked God to forgive me. And I've experienced the wonderful joy of salvation that I've experienced that. I don't want to lose that. And we have an enemy that is throwing everything he can at you and I to get us to be discouraged, lose it, or just take up some other type of religion. I can make heaven my home by my ways. And that's a dangerous time. And that's, I believe, what Paul's saying here. He says, I marvel that at one time, he said, I went there, I preached to help you establish, you were set up, you understood what it meant to be saved, you understood what it meant to be sanctified, you understood what it meant to be holy, living a holy life, you understood what it meant to be water baptized, you understood some of these things. You had him, you were consecrated, you had a good value of understanding. But he says here, I marvel that you are so soon moved, removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for ourselves. Lord, keep my eyes fixed on the goal. Keep my eyes fixed on Christ. Keep my eyes looking towards Christ. Not to look left, not to look right, not to look behind us, not to look around. Let me tell you what, we can look around just as Peter did when he climbed off that boat and he started to walk. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, he was able to walk on the water. But once he started to look around and he seen the waves and the winds and all the things, he lost faith in Christ. When we start looking around and we see that one, the hypocrisy over here, we see this one sinning over there, we see that one over there claiming they're saved, this one, and they're doing all kind of the sinful things in the world, it distracts us from looking at Christ. Pray. Paul says, I marvel that sometimes people are moved away from the gospel of Christ so easily. As I said, over years we've seen them. I can remember when I was first saved. I wasn't saved too long. I don't know who the people were, but I remember their faces as a gentleman and his wife came. And they came to an altar. I don't remember. I think they got saved and came to an altar to get saved and seemed to have a real good, happy experience. And as I said, I was young. I wasn't saved very long, very, very short period of time. And I remember seeing that and encouraged and seeing that I think they testify a little bit or just they were happy with some things, but it wasn't long and they were gone. Never seen them again. That discouraged me because it seemed like they were doing well. It seemed like they had the goods of what salvation was, but something took them away. And I've seen that over the years. And I've sometimes, Lord, help me. I need to pray for me. I need to pray for me. Lord, I need to keep steady. I need to keep faithful. I need to keep my eyes fixed before I get thrown away by something else. Leave to another gospel. Leave to another idea of my own. Other service, other churches or whatever. They've gone away. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Again, all these are letters from Paul to different churches here. Verse 3, we thank God, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So he says to the church here, we're giving thanks for you, we're praying for you, we're encouraged with it. God has ordained a body of a church. God set it up this way to have a church. Every one of us that is saved and been in this battle for a while, there have been times we have really needed the prayers of the saints. We've, whether it be discouraged, sickness, whatever battle's going through, we've needed, I need somebody to help me pray. I can remember one time when I was in the hospital with my gallbladder, and I was in so much pain, and I only could lay on this right side, and the room that I was in, they had me against the wall, so I was looking at the wall. Any visitors that came in, I couldn't even turn to talk, and the pain was just so severe, and they had me on pain medicine. I was still sure. And I remember one particular time laying there, and I was in so much pain, I couldn't even pray. I literally could not pray. I just couldn't bring my mind into a thought of prayer. But the consolation that came to me is the saints are praying for you. They knew I was in a hospital. They knew we didn't know I had a gallbladder problem at the time. We didn't know what was going on. They just knew I was in terrible pain. But that was such a blessing and an encouragement. The saints. Suppose you're all by yourself. You're an island out there. I'm living for the Lord. Who are you going to call to prayer? I don't know if it was that time or the time I was in the hospital with my appendix. And some ladies came in. They were church. I don't know what church they were. And Lynn was sitting there. And they walked in. Hello, how you doing? We're coming here to pray for you. And I was pastor then. I think I was pastor. But the lady says, does your pastor know you're here? And both of us kind of chuckled. And she said, what's so funny? I said, well, I am the pastor. And she says, does your congregation know you're here? You know, and that's something, you know, the saint, then she understood that thought. I need a prayer. The call for prayer, to ask for prayer. God ordained the church to pray for one another. I know Sister Jerry sitting back here. If she ever gets on an airplane, she desires for prayer. I'm not saying that most of us don't. We get on an airplane, we want prayer for safety. We go in the car, we want prayer for safety. As I said, we really can. Brother, I'll pray for you and you pray for me as we travel. Been discouraged. Lord, I need prayer. I need encouragement. But God has ordained a church for those things to come together, to pray for one another, to hold burdens for one another. Romans, I looked this up. You can go over there for time's sake. We're not going to go over there this morning right now. But if you want to, in Romans chapter 8 and 26, I will go over there real quick just to read it, because I quote this many times. And this morning, as I was looking at my message, this thought came to my mind again. And I thought I quoted a lot, and I don't read it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 26. I wrote the wrong verse down, I guess. No, I'm sorry, Romans 8 and 26. Romans chapter 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many times have you had such a weight of burdens on you? You don't even have the words to say. You don't, as I said there, I didn't have the ability to pray because of physical, but sometimes even in the mental capacity of the burden in such a great way, we don't even have the ability to pray or the words. There have been many times in my life I've gone to God. Sometimes I've gone to God in prayer for the same thing over and over and over and over. And Lord, I just don't know how to pray anymore about it. I don't know what to do. And I thank God this verse has come to my mind. God says, you don't have to sit here. Sometimes we try to put it together. A, B, C, Lord, let me plan this prayer out so you know how to work, Lord. God says, just come to me. Sometimes it says here that our spirit, verse 26, he says that our spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. God knows our very spirit. God knows the burden of our heart and the prayers of our heart. And as we may go to God in prayer and we may not say a word, just there may be tears. God says, I know it. I understand it. But the devil will sit there and try, well, you need to pray. No, I don't need to pray. God already knows the burden of my heart. And sometimes we need to just, Lord, here it is. The two men I know it's dealing with salvation. The two men that went to pray. The one man went down. He told God all these other things. The other man, he didn't even say a word hardly. Lift up his eye. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Sometimes that's what we need to go to God. Lord, here, I need help. I need help. Whatever this burden is, whatever this concern is, Lord, I need help. I don't have to explain it to God. Our prayers. Our spirit maketh intercession. And we need to pray for one another, Lord, help us. As I said earlier in my message, we've had Wednesday night prayer meetings as long as I've ever known I've been saved, and then some before that. I've been saved for quite a while. Many of you have been saved longer than I have. We've had Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's Wednesday night prayer meeting, a time to come and pray. I remember when I first got saved and my aunt, we were talking about prayer one time. And she said, some of the saints, she'll spend a whole hour in prayer. Now, I'll admit to you, I've never spent an hour in prayer. But there have been times I've been burdened and prayed, maybe not nowhere near an hour. But we come together to pray. And as I told you, sometimes in camp meetings, sometimes in people, it's a prayer meeting. They're not to take up the time to go to God in prayer. And I don't ever want to try to order a prayer meeting as far as how we pray or whatever. Many times we pray for the same thing. But I've said this sometimes, you know, you come here and 3, 4, or 5 people may pray and they've already prayed for all the needs. But maybe come here with a mind thought to pray for something different. Pray for, like you say, the Sunday school children that you taught. Pray for different things. But it's a time to pray. We shouldn't take it lightly, I believe. We're in a battle for our soul that's never going to die. Our soul is going to last an eternity of one of two places. Either in the glories of heaven or in the pits of hell. And according to the word of God, there is no return from either one of those places. If we are sentenced to a place of hell, there is no getting out of that. So I need all the grace and help and prayer of the saints, and you need all the prayer. We need to make heaven a home to stay encouraged, to stay, the Bible said, be not weary and well-doing. I've been weary and well-doing. I get tired of just the same old thing every day and being faithful and being true and pressing on. I get tired of that. Lord, do something great. Do something special. Do something unusual. God says, I never told you I was going to do none of that. Just stay faithful. Be thankful God shortened our years. You ain't living 900 years like Methuselah. Imagine you had to live 150 or 200 years. Be halfway through there, wouldn't you, Sister Jerry? Live 200 years, you're not even halfway through. Sometimes I think, Lord, whenever. Lord, whenever you're ready to take us, take me. Take me home. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Used to be some things we mentioned. Where's the prayer warriors? But he says here that he salutes you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect. It takes some work, says labor. Labor. I don't believe that word means a physical as far as working type of labor. That takes some effort. When the Bible says to get in your closet and close the door, that takes some mental work to get in there and get our mind set to pray. He says they're laboring fervently for you in prayer. You know, I've said this many a times. I believe that prayer is our blood source of salvation. Between prayer, being in service, and reading our word, there are three vital parts of being a Christian. Now, something can physically happen to where we can't have the ability to read. I know we can listen to tapes and things. Something could happen to where you don't have the ability to be in service. But unless something physically happens to us where we don't have the mentality to be able to pray anymore, and then God will take care of us from there, prayer is important. We should keep our prayer life up to date as best as we can. And I trust that from time to time that God pulls on your heart. You know, you haven't prayed. Maybe you've gone to God in prayer quickly a couple times here and there, and that yearning, that pulling, God said, I need you to take some time to pray. I need you to find some time to have some good quality prayer time, because we're busy. We're always busy. We're always going here and going there and just traveling, raising families, our jobs, our purposes in life, to find a good quality time to pray. Now, I trust that from time to time, God deals with it. Brother Gilbert said to me something years and years ago, and I never have had this happen to me, but I kind of felt bad when he said it to me, and it still has never really happened to me. I may have done it on a time or two just out of me doing it, but he says, Brother Doug, has the Lord ever woke you up in the middle of the night and gave you a burden to pray? No, I can't remember ever saying that the Lord's ever done that to me. But I have had the Lord tap me, hey, you need to find some time to pray. You need to find some time to get away from the world. You need to find some time to spend some time in quality time in prayer. Get away from your family, get away from the work, get away from everything, and go and pray. Just spend time in prayer. Because I'm no value to praying for you if I'm not prayed up for myself. It ain't no value for you to ask me to pray for you if I'm not diligently in my prayer life's prayed up, or it's vice versa with you. It's no use me asking you to pray for me if you're not prayed up yourself to pray. He says, laboring fervently in prayer. Help us to give us a greater burden for prayer, that we may stand complete in God's will. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, last verse here. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because it saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then when the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quarters and soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, and Peter therefore was kept in the prison, But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, we can read down there to verse 6. Always kind of laugh and think about it a little bit. You know, verse 6 says there, when Herod would have brought forth Peter, or brought him forth, the same night Peter was asleep. I believe Peter had it settled. I believe in Peter's mind, he thought, well, I'm going to be home with the Lord by morning. Because they done killed James. They done cut his head off, and they took me to do the same thing. I guess Peter was just content. I'm going to be with the Lord by daybreak or whatever. But it says in verse 5 that prayer was made by the church without ceasing for him. I laid in that hospital in that much pain, couldn't pray. I thank God for the saints, the church that was able to pray. And saints, we know that not just to us, when something's very severe like that or other things, not just this congregation, but other congregations we may have fellowship with, we may pass that out. And even Brother Tim down in Louisiana, I've texted him. He's texted me sometimes. And hey, we got a special prayer request for something. Remember this request. And I've texted him the same thing. We got a special prayer request. So not only just here in Louisiana, maybe Hagerstown and Craigsville and wherever. Maybe multiple different congregations. Thank God for the prayers of the saints. And the prayers of the saints made a continual prayer for Peter without ceasing. And the story is, as the angel came and delivered Peter, and he came and knocked on the door of the house where they were praying, it shocked them. But thank God for the prayers. I guess Peter was glad for the church to pray. I guess he was. Maybe he had his mind set to going home, but God didn't have it that way. I thank the Lord that our lives have never been in jeopardy to that point where we've had to pray for to spare our lives. But as we mentioned from time to time, our daily life, we go to God in prayer in the morning, Lord, protect me through the day. We go down the road. We were going to Doug, my son's and his wife's the other day. We were going out that way and out on the Beltway. And it was Friday, I think. I think it was Friday. And traffic was a little heavy. And here come one of them cars, weaving in and out, wanting to get up the road. And he come in behind me, and I was in the fast lane. And I wasn't traveling. I was traveling speed limit, maybe 5 miles over, but basically with traffic. And I mean, I could tell he was chomping at the bit. Well, it was a tractor trailer that passed me. And he skirted across behind that track trailer and went over to the next lane and took off. And there was a car in front of that track trailer, and he had to stop. Or not stop, but he had to slow up. And I watched him, and we all kept on going, and he was just chomping at the bit. And finally, we went forward, and he backed off, come behind that tractor behind me, and then went up the side lane. I mean, he went up the side median there and took off and went up. And I was cautious. I'm like, Lord, all he has to do is tap me, and we'll have a problem. Lord, we're not sitting in prison today. But Lord, I tell you what, when we're out there, we need the protection of God. More than I think we've ever needed protection of God. On the roads, protect us, Lord. Keep us safe. Help us to pray for one another, Lord. Help us to hold a greater burden for one another. Help us, Lord, that there won't be any wedges to come between us. The Bible talks about that there be no schisms in the body. No divisions. No separations. No problems. Help us to pray. Have a burden for one another. The Bible, I didn't bring this verse of scripture. The Bible says, I think it was Jesus. He said, pray for your enemy. And for those that despitefully use you, pray for them. You ever prayed for your enemy before? You ever prayed for somebody that maybe you didn't get along with too well? God puts a different spirit with you when you start praying that you're not going to be talking about him for one thing. I had that with the man on the job. I was praying, Lord, give me some grace. This man is difficult to deal with. I went to work that day, and some of the other guys were talking about him, and I started to join in, and the Lord said, you just got done praying for him. And I was able to close my mouth about it. But Lord, give us, not that there be any schisms, that our prayer lives won't be affected. You know, if I've got something between Brother Danny and I, our prayers are going to be affected. God says we need to have that flow of love between one another, that our prayers aren't affected. I want God to answer my prayers. I want God to answer your prayers. Lord, saints, I need your prayers for something. Well, I want the Lord to answer your prayers for me, and vice versa. It says that over in 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to go over there. There be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We have an enemy. Even though we're saved and we're sanctified, we have still a spirit down in there trying to stir it up, trying to divide, trying to get things started, the division between somebody. But Lord, help us. Help us to have a kindness of prayer one for another, to pray for you, to pray for me, to pray for them, that God may bless our souls. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's stand up and open the Psalm book. Turn to page 373. 373.
My violin, my blood.